Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Azure Stack session. Well, in this session, we will talk about how we position the Azure Stack, how we design the Azure Stack, including hardware, software architecture, we'll also introduce the business model. First about me, myself, my name is Larry. I'm from the Azure CAD team, Microsoft, obviously. If you don't know what the CAD team doing, CAD team basically is the bridge between the customer and the engineering group. So our team runs some of the product validation program, for example, Azure Stack Advisor. We have 180 customers around the world. Do we have any Azure Stack Advisor customer come here today? Show your hands. Just a few. We also run a very small group. We call the multi-node private preview program. We have the 21 customers around the world. They will get the multi-node Azure Stack after TP3. So before joining the Azure CAD team, I was the engineering PM in Azure Stack team. I own the Azure Stack single-node, the POC deployment. Also, the storage, the WAS service admin, and web migration. I've been with Microsoft around 17 years across different roles, from the support to PFE to MCS, architect, 10. About seven years ago, I joined the product group as engineering PM. What's the Azure Stack? If you have no idea about what Azure Stack, you're probably in the wrong session. But I still want to spend some time at the beginning of the session and talk about what's the Azure Stack. Because from time to time, when I talk to customer, I find I have to reset their expectation. There are some, I would not say it's a wrong perception, but it's different perception from the what we want, where we position Azure Stack. For example, there are always some questions like, is Azure Stack is a Microsoft version of the OpenStack? Is Azure Stack is a private Azure? Okay. So what's the Azure Stack? Azure Stack is Microsoft hybrid cloud platform, which enables the organization to deliver the Azure service from their own data center. What is that supposed to mean? Actually, it's all about consistency. If you look at the definition here, deliver the Azure service. The real Azure service, not the Azure-like service. It's real Azure service. So the important thing, the most important thing is keep the consistent between the public Azure and the Azure Stack. It's all about consistency. About 2.5 years ago, when we started the project, the code name of the project is called Cloud Consistency. So you can see how the vision of the Azure Stack is just about consistency. Okay. So you have heard the you will hear the consistency a lot in this session. Why we need Azure Stack? Because why we need hybrid cloud platform? If you look at today, the customer are moving to the cloud. Some of them select a public cloud, some of them select a private cloud. We find that there's still some customers, they thought public cloud might not fit them. A couple of reasons here. The first one is about the regulation. Maybe Azure or other public cloud is good. It's very easy to use. It will lower the cost. But the problem is that some of the industry might have very strong regulation, like the banking, like the finance industry. So regulation is one of the reasons. The second reason is about sensitive data. I have a customer. They are the tax authority in Europe. So you could imagine all the data they have is very sensitive. So those customers, they cannot put the sensitive data in the public cloud. There's a couple other reasons for some latency. When you're running an application system in the public cloud, probably you will have a little bit concern about latency because the public cloud might not be in your region, not even in your country, right? So the latency is another concern. So from So we find that more and more customers, they adopt the hybrid cloud strategy. Some of the customers, they use the hybrid cloud as a stepping stone to the public cloud. But some of the customers, even look at the hybrid cloud as the long-term strategy. Then what's the Microsoft solution for the hybrid cloud? That's the Azure Stack. When we talk to the customer said, hey, I like the service on Azure. I like the feature. I like machine learning, IoT suite, those kind of stuff. But the problem is I cannot use the public cloud because of those reasons. Okay, then we see. We can put Azure in your data center. How about that? That Azure is a, you can see that Azure is a small Azure, it's a mini Azure. It's an extension of the Azure in your data center. When I see the small Azure, it's mini Azure, if you look at the ARM layer, if you look at the portal, they are exactly the same. They use the same Ibiza portal. They use the same PowerShell, Azure PowerShell, same version. If you look at the service, we provide the exact same the iService, infrastructure as a service, in Azure Stack, which is the exact same as the Azure. In terms of PaaS, of course, right now, in the first release, we have very limited number of the PaaS service. But moving forward, we're onboarding more and more PaaS service on Azure Stack. Also, there might be some the little bit difference between the PaaS service on Azure Stack and Azure. For example, today, for example, storage, broad TableQ, we only support the local replication. We don't support the geo replication. Again, moving forward, we'll support the geo replication. We'll support the capabilities in Azure. We're onboarding them to the Azure Stack. That's from the user's perspective and from the developer's perspective. In terms of infrastructure, actually we use a different infrastructure from Azure. Customer always ask me, do you use the exact same hardware you use in Azure? Do you use the same OS, same application? The answer is no. In the infrastructure, we use different hardware. We even use a different software. For example, we use a Windows Server 2016 server core in the Azure Stack. We use the commodity server, not the exact same we use in the Azure. Because Azure, if you know Azure, Azure is a hyperscale data center, right? Anybody knows what's the size of the scale unit in Azure? Any guess? 20 racks. 20 racks, 800 servers for one scale unit. We cannot expect our customer use multiple 20 racks in their own data center. So we have to translate those service, those IaaS service, PaaS service, to the commodity server the customer can buy today. That's Azure Stack doing. The purpose here is we want to provide the consistent experience to the developer and to the IT pro. For developer can only write the application once, then he or she can deploy the application in a different cloud, including public Azure and on-premise, and even some of the hosted cloud. For IT pros perspective, they can use the same DevOps tools to manage the different clouds, Azure Stack, Azure. So it's all about consistency. There's also some difference between the Azure Stack, especially for the if you look at operation. For Azure, you are the customer. You use Azure. Microsoft engineer, we operate Azure. We support Azure. But Azure Stack is different. Azure Stack is in your data center. So it's your responsibility to operate Azure, to troubleshooting. If you have a problem, you can also escalate to the Microsoft. There's escalation channel there, but it's your responsibility to operate the Azure Stack. You and customer, you and user use the Azure Stack. When we design the Azure Stack, there's a couple of very important, very key decisions we made. Some of these decisions, the people might have a different opinion. So I also want to hear your feedback, and we can discuss. I can introduce why we make such decision. The first one is about the system center. FAQ I received about Azure Stack is, does Azure Stack use a system center? The answer is no. Why? Because if you look at Citizen Center, don't get me wrong, Citizen Center is the great data center management tool, management product. But it can support the multiple hypervisor, can manage different device applications from different vendors. But if you look at the cloud uses very highly standard hardware, highly standard software. We don't need that capability to manage a different hypervisor. So when we design the Azure stack, we decide we use a very lightweight infrastructure manager. We design the infrastructure manager from scratch, which is built on the service fabric. So this is the first decision we use. Actually, before the Azure stack, our team works on a project called CPS. CPS is a cloud platform system, which it's the private cloud solution based on the Windows Server Citizen Center and Azure and Windows Azure Pack. At that time, we received the customer feedback about the Citizen Center because for private cloud, Citizen Center might be a little bit heavy. The first decision we develop an infrastructure to replace the Citizen Center in the Azure stack. The second one is, should we use the converged or hyper-converged? If you know Azure, they separate the compute node and the storage node. They put the compute nodes and the storage nodes in different scale units. But when we look at Azure stack, because we position Azure stack as the small Azure in your data center, so we don't expect customer has very large scale deployment. So separate the compute node and the storage node could not give us too much benefit. On the other hand, if we can leverage hyper-converged, then we can use the hyper-converged to give us we can scale out the compute storage network all together. So it's that's why eventually we select the hyper-converged deployment model. The third decision is I think this one is the most, the people has a concern about that, as we decided to ship the Azure stack as an integrated system, as appliance, which means you cannot use your existing hardware to deploy Azure Stack. You cannot DIY your hardware, then install software on top on it. The reason reason behind that is, I think there's three reasons. The first one is consistent with Azure. You know, Azure, we use the very highly standard hardware. For example, we give the OEM vendor the server spec. The OEM vendor builds the server based on our spec. Maybe that's some of the different some generation, Gen 1, Gen 2, Gen 3, they all build the server based on our spec. So it's a standard server. So Azure Stack, we also want to standardize the hardware because there's too many different hardwares in the market. Use the RDMA as an example. In RDMA, there's a different vendors, like the Mellanox, Emulex, Chesil. Later, Intel will also have the RDMA solution. Different standard, like Rocky V1, Rocky V2, IWAP, and more different products. So we want to standardize the hardware and more focus on the service delivery on the Azure stack. This is the first reason. The second reason is the Azure one consistent with Azure stack, right? And you know, Azure is moving very fast. As Azure stack, we want to catch up. Today, we have only a very limited number of the PaaS service, but customer expect us to provide more PaaS service. So we need to catch up. So Azure stack is a service, it's not a box software. So it's impossible for Azure stack, just like the Windows Server 2016, maintain a long list. This hardware is certified by the Windows Server 2016. But the problem here is because we need to change very frequently. We have updated very frequently. We cannot spend too much time to validate each version with the different vendors, different hardware. So the second reason. Third reason is the most important reason. It's because we want to save our customers time and cost. We don't want them to waste their time on the troubleshooting the compatibility issue between the hardware and the software, right? We want them put focused on the how to deliver the service on the Azure stack. That's the three reasons we decided to ship the Azure stack as an integrated system. The first one is same as the previous one. the host is sealed, which means you cannot install the antivirus software. You cannot install the OE, the monitoring agent on the host, because the host is sealed. The reason we do that is it's also because we don't want those third-party software or install software block the future updates. As I mentioned, as Azure Stack, we are updated very frequently. So we need we'll ship the update to the customer. We expect customer to apply those updates. Then they can keep consistent with Azure, right? Of course, it's your decision to select whether or not you apply the update or patch. But if you don't apply the patch and update, maybe after months, after years, you'll find you're not consistent with Azure anymore. Your developer will come to you and ask questions like this. Why the application I deployed on Azure is okay, but I cannot deploy in our Azure stack? Because your Azure stack is out of date. It's not consistent with Azure. So we need to make sure that hardware, software, they are not block us updating to the latest version. About scaling. As I mentioned, I was saying, we position Azure Stack as the mini Azure in your data center. So it's not designed for the hyperscale data center. See, we had a customer in China come to me and say, I have the 10,000 servers. I want to use Azure Stack to deploy the cloud and private cloud to my as offering cloud offering to my customer. I'm sorry, Azure Stack is not designed for that purpose in the first version. Okay. We'll talk about the scaling and how to scale Azure Stack later. I mentioned the integrated system. What's the integrated system? It includes software, hardware, also the service and support. If you look at hardware, the minimum size of the Azure Stack, including the 5 servers and 3 switch. Diagram here only had 4 servers, but it's a little bit old diagram. Actually, now we decided to ship the 5 servers as the minimum size. The reason is we have 4 servers, it's a hyper-converged node that doesn't change. We add one more server as the management server. We call it Hardware Lifecycle Host, HLH. Hardware Lifecycle Host used to deploy the whole stack, Azure Stack deployment, deploy from that HLH. Also, the OEM vendors can run in some VMs in the HLH to monitoring the hardware, like the, use the iJack, ILO, some other out-of-band management tools to manage the physical machine. 3 switch, 2 of them are Tor switch. These are 10 gig switch, support RDMA. The third switch is the BMC switch, which used to manage the hardware and node and a switch, is management switch. In terms of the integrated system, which including the we architect the Azure Stack, we design the hardware, the software, we pre-configure and deploy the Azure Stack, also including the service like the validation, the Azure Stack in your data center. Also, Azure Stack including the its own monitoring and diagnostic capability. It includes the BCDR capability. Also, we are shipped Azure Stack with the PNU patch and update. The service including the replace the field parts of the Azure Stack. That's all about the integrated system. We have 3 vendors. Actually, now we have 4 vendors, right? If you notice, the last week we just announced the 4th vendor, Cisco. So now we have 4 vendors, Dell, HP, Lenovo, and Cisco. I will show you the talent experience of the Azure Stack. Just a quick take a look. This is a single node. It's just running right here. It's quite small box. This is a tenant. I mean, right now I'm using the tenant, I mean login. Then you can see I can create the VM, I can create the storage account, do a bunch of stuff things. I need to refresh page. If you're familiar with Azure, you will find the experience here is exactly the same as the Azure, but this one is the Azure Stack. For example, the test VM2. Okay. G2. In Azure, you might select a different location, like the, for example, the east of Asia or South Asia. But this one is we select local because we have only one region here. That's the local region. Select size. I use A1. Now we can configure the storage count and network. Availability set. I just click create. The Azure Stack will deploy the VM for you. Also, you can also create other service. For example, I have like a MySQL database here. SQL database is user experience is consistent with Azure, but MySQL is slightly different because MySQL in public Azure. We leverage the ClearDB to provide the MySQL service. But this one, Azure Stack, we give the MySQL RP, which is port from the China Azure. China Azure has the first party MySQL RP. So this is telling experience here. Let me go back to the slide deck. Azure Stack software architecture, including the first is ARM layer, including the portal and ARM. We call it the partition request broker. Partition request broker will route the request from the ARM to the individual RP in different regions. We support multiple regions in the future, so we need this broker to route the RP, request from ARM to the different region, the different RPs. We have some built-in RPs in the Azure Stack. Those RPs include two types. One is we call foundation RP, which includes the storage RP, network RP, and compute RP, CRP, SRP, NRP. Also, some of the other core RP, for example, the useful healthy monitoring, the health RP, the update RP, Fabric Management, FRP, those are the core RP. It's included in the building in the Azure Stack. Besides those RPs, I show you the SQL RP and the MySQL RP, the SQL Service and MySQL Service. Those RPs, is customer can install those RPs after they have the Azure Stack deployed. So those RPs are not built in. It's customer's responsibility to install those RP to the Azure Stack. Individual RP will talk to the corresponding controller. For example, storage RP will talk to the storage controller. Then storage controller will talk to the ACS, we call Azure Consistent Storage. Azure Consistent Storage is built on top of the scale-out file server. The different RP has a different controller. Network RP can talk to the network controller. Then each controller will manage the resource, like the network storage, and compute resource. We have a bunch of the infrastructure roles here to manage those resources. You know, the architecture here is slightly different from the Azure, because this is transparent from the user's perspective, from the tenant's perspective. This is, because we need to translate some of the Azure experience to the Windows Server and the commodity server we have today. So we do some translation. For example, ACS, didn't show. ACS right here. ACS means the Azure Consistent Storage. If you're familiar with the Azure Storage uses the XStore, which is designed for hyperscale distributed storage system. But in the Azure Stack, we use the different. We develop the ACS. This is not the Azure Container Service. It's the Azure Consistent Storage. Azure Consistent Storage is on top of the Scale-Out File Server and provides the object storage to the RP. So this is this. So we do some translation between the Azure service and the Windows Server and the PC server we had. This is an overall Azure Stack architecture. Okay. Talking about the scale. From time to time, ask question like the what's the scalability goal of the Azure Stack? If you first, we need to understand how the Azure Stack scale, how they scale out. The first thing is about we had one endpoint for the whole Azure Stack deployment. No matter how many regions you have, you might have the, for example, in our design, eventually in the future we will support up to the 64 regions. But no matter how many regions you have. You have just one endpoint to all the regions, all the services running in those regions. That one point is for the portal and ARM. Then portal and ARM will support multiple regions. Each region, different region might use different OEM partners Azure Stack. For example, maybe Seattle uses the HPE's OEM stack, HPE's Azure Stack. Maybe in New York, you use that Dell's Azure Stack. So each region can use Azure Stack from a different vendor. In each region, we have the multiple scale units. Remember, in Azure, scale units is 20 racks, right? In Azure Stack, a scale unit is a cluster. It's a full domain. It's a field cluster. Each cluster, the minimum size is 4 nodes. We can support up to the 12 nodes. In one cluster, that cluster actually is the scale out. It's a storage space direct cluster. In Windows Server 2016, storage space direct can support up to 16 nodes, but in Azure Stack we support from the 4 to 12 nodes. Okay. Each scale unit could be used a different generation of the hardware. From the same vendors, right? So different regions may use the different vendors. In one region, you have used the Azure Stack from the one from the single vendor, but you can mix the different generation in the future. So that's eventually the scalability goal of the Azure Stack is a number of the nodes multiply the number of the scale units in one region and multiply the multiple number of the regions. Right? So that's the vision of the scale. Let's look into the one scale unit. One scale unit includes the four node server, that's the hyperconverged nodes, and two Tor switch and one BMC switch. That's the one scale unit. The hardware lifecycle cost I mentioned can be shared between the scale units. In each physical machine, the minimum spec had two 10G RDMA NIC and 256 gigabyte memory and 16 cores. It has one boot drive or two boot drives. It depends on which vendor you choose. Also, we mix the SSD and HDD because this is a storage space direct cluster, right? in order to have the better performance, you have to use the SSD as the cache device. So we mix the SSD and the HDD. That's the minimum spec for the one node. If you look at the hardware itself, actually it's just a storage bit direct cluster. The only additional component is the blob service running on the each node. All of the infrastructure roles we mentioned is the VM running on in the cluster. So if you look at the hardware, it's just the S2D cluster. Let's look at the service admin experience. I log out and log in as a service admin. As a service admin, you will have the different view from the tenant. You can manage the region. Right now, I have the one region here. You can manage the different resource provider. You can add resource provider. You can manage the resource inside the resource provider. You can manage all the service resource provisioned by your tenant. This is region, right? Region management. Well, the dashboard tells me I have the 10 critical error, 5 warnings right now. Because I just reboot the, this is one node, there's no HA, so I reboot the machine. So there's always some of the errors or the warnings will show up. It's okay, actually. Then here's the resource provider. Right? For example, this is a storage provider. Yeah, it will show how many storage has been used, how many free space, how many storage count, any error warnings right here. This is a dashboard for the region. You can see the version of the region and see if there's any update. If there's a new update available, it will show up. Then service admin can select one and when to apply the patch. Okay, I can see the alerts. Previously, we see a lot of alerts and warning here. So I suppose can see a long list here. Some of alerts, if it has disappeared after the system self-health itself, then you will see the status is closed. Some of the alerts are still active. For example, this one is active, right? You can see the details of the alerts. In Azure Stack, we will give you some suggestion how to fix the problem. For example, for this one, add a new scale unit to, because I don't have much memory right now. This machine has only 128 gigabyte memory. It has already used more than 65% of the memory. So it's just me to add more scale unit. That's the service admin experience. Okay. Let's go back to my deck. When you deploy that, this is an integrated system, so you don't need to design to install software on the hardware, do those kind of job. But you still need to integrate the Azure Stack into your environment, because Azure Stack is like the it's a separate deployment, right? So in terms of integration to the data center, there's a couple of things you need to do. First one is networking. You need to connect the Tor switch to your border device. Could be the aggregation switch. Right? Use the BGP or use direct routing to connect to our Tor switch to your border device. This is about networking, like connectivity. The second thing is you need to connect to the identity source, of course. Because you want to use the Azure Stack, you have to authenticate, log in, right? So we need to integrate the identity source with the Azure Stack. The identity source could be the AAD, Azure AD. It also supports the ADFS. From TP3, you can validate, you can try the ADFS deployment. So you can you don't need AAD anymore. You just use ADFS. You can also use the Azure Stack. Also, Azure Stack need to integrate with your monitoring system, external monitoring system, ticketing system, and also some of the power and the cooling stuff. In terms of monitoring, in Azure Stack, I just show you we have the monitoring. We use the portal, we use the PowerShell to report the alert and give the users a suggestion how to fix that problem. So besides that, we also provide RESTful API so the external monitoring system can pull the data from the Azure Stack. Besides the Azure Stack, the infrastructure layer, we also support the external monitoring system, use SMP to get the alerts and monitoring information from the network switch, use the out-of-band management, like IJAC or ILO, to get the information about the physical node. So it's your external monitoring system to get the three to get the information from the three sites and put them together. Patch and update, PNU. Every time we release a patch or update, we will validate those patch updates in our own lab, in our environment. That's the beauty of the integrated system, because we have exactly the same hardware you had in your deploy in your data center. So we can validate those patch and update and make sure they are 100% works. With those patch and updates, you can download and put them in the corresponding the path folders. Then Azure Stack will pick up and show in the portal where you have three or five updates and waiting to update. Then the service admin can make the call whether or not deploy or update those patch. During the patch and update, there is no service interruption for the tenant's workload. Okay. Actually, from the TP3, we have 21 customers that were deployed the TP3 multi-node. So those customers, we support them upgrade from the TP3 to the GA build, to the RTM build. That's upgrade. That's so the most important commitment we put in the TP3 is the patch and update. Backup disaster recovery. When we talk about the BCDR, in Azure Stack, there's two space. The first one is the admin space. In admin space, including all the service, VMs, metadata data used by the Azure Stack itself, make sure itself can running, right? This is the admin experience. This is the admin space. So for the Azure Stack infrastructure, we do backup those data and put them in an external file share. You can move data to the other data center just in case that there's a site disaster. Right? This is admin space. For tenant space, we leverage same as Azure. Again, consistent with Azure, we use the Azure backup. Customer may use Azure backup to backup VM from the Azure Stack to Azure. Customer can use ASR, Azure Site Recovery, to protect the VM and replicate VM from the Azure Stack to Azure. If you ask, do we support the ASR or Azure backup between Azure Stack regions? The answer is no. at least in the first release, we only support the Azure backup and the ESR between the Azure Stack and Azure. Okay. Also, in the VM, you can use your existing existing backup agent, installed agent in the VM. I mentioned we do not allow the installed agent on the host, but for the tenant VM, you have the full ownership. You can do whatever things you want to do. For example, install the antivirus software in the tenant VM is okay. Install the backup agent is okay. So you can still leverage your existing backup infrastructure to get backup those VMs and the data in those VMs. For the PaaS service, in the first release, we don't provide the geo-replication. So this is slightly different from the Azure. Azure storage can provide geo-replication. You can replicate data between the different regions. But in this version, we only support the local replication for the storage data. So it's your tenant responsibility to protect the data in the storage account. About security. In order to protect Azure Stack, we whitelist a lot of things. For example, we have application whitelist. So you cannot install the application on the host or in the infrastructure VM. You cannot do that. We whitelist the network device. So you can now plug in a new network device or a new server in our switch. We do not allow user to do that. We whitelist those stuff. We also disable some of the legacy protocol in order to enhance the security. We encrypt the data at rest. We customize the antivirus software because we use the built-in the antivirus software in the Windows Server 2016. Then let's look at the business model. Basically, Azure Stack business model is a tension of the Azure business model. So when you buy Azure Stack, you got hardware, you got software inside running on the hardware. So you need to pay the OEM vendor for the hardware. You need to cover the hardware cost. But the software used to use in the infrastructure, cloud infrastructure layer, you don't need to pay the software license. For example, the Windows Server 2016, you don't need to buy the Windows Server 2016 license for the Azure Stack, the cloud infrastructure. We also have the SQL Server VM running in the Azure Stack. You don't need to buy the separate SQL license for that SQL VM. But for a tenant workload, if you have tenant, they're running the SQL, they're running some other VMs, you still need to bring your own license, right? Don't get me wrong, the software license here is only talking about the cloud infrastructure layer. So you don't need to pay the software license for the cloud infrastructure layer. Then how can we charge the customer? How can we charge the user? We charge based on the consumption, which means if you buy the Azure Stack, nobody uses that Azure Stack, you don't need to pay Microsoft for 1 cent. You only need to pay the OEM vendor for the hardware. So it's based on the consumption. How Microsoft knows your consumption? We are install a metering in the Azure Stack. So that metering will collect the user data and send it back to the, we have the RP running on the Azure. The RP is called Azure Stack RP. That RP is not running on the Azure Stack. That RP is running on Azure. So the metering, you will send the user data to the Azure Stack RP. Then Azure Stack RP will collect the data and generate the billing. Eventually, the billing will show up in your final bill together with other Azure consumption. For example, you might have the bill including the consumption from your Azure cloud, the public Azure, and also including from the Azure Stack. So that's the unified billing for the Azure Stack. You might have the question, in my organization, I'm not feel comfortable to send the user data to the Microsoft. How can we use the Azure Stack in that scenario? In that case, we also support what we call the capacity model. Capacity model means you buy the capacity usage by yearly by the capacity. So you only buy the which means no matter you use or not, you pay this much to Microsoft. So that's the capacity model. So we have two models. One is connect to Azure. One is disconnect from Azure. Connect to Azure, we'll use the mid-range to collect the data and then charge customer based on consumption. The disconnect from Azure, then we use the capacity model. This is an end-to-end solution for the Azure stack. Of course, we have pre-sale stage, then our engineer, our field team will discuss the capacity with our customer, decide what's the size of the Azure stack, how many regions, how many scale units do you need, then place order. Then OEM partner will manufacture the Azure stack based on the order. Later on, we will send you a survey form to collect the information about your environment. For example, actually, I do have the spreadsheet here. I can show you guys. This is a spreadsheet we use to collect information. If you look at here, the first question is about, do you want to connect to Azure? Yes or not, right? If connect to Azure, then next question, you want use the what's your identity source, identity store? You use AD or use ADFS? Then you want to use the consumption-based billing or use the capacity-based billing? Then you tell. Then we'll collect some of the basic information like a company name, the region name. Because we will use the region name when deploy the Azure stack. External domain name. We use all the tenant workload deployed on Azure stack will be accessed by the external through the external FQDN or through the VIP, the public VIP. So we need this domain name. Also, you can give the private domain name, which is only used by the inside the Azure stack. So use the component talk to component. Right? This kind of communication will use the private domain information. It's also the customer's responsibility to prepare some of the certificates for the Azure stack. You need to give us tell us the password of the certificate, then we can use this certificate to deploy the Azure stack. AD information and some other naming contest, time zone, DNS forwarder. The most important part is here, the network. Okay. You need to give us the subset, the IP range for the BMC network. For the full node, we don't need too much IP, but if you had 12 nodes or more nodes, you might need a larger IP range. Then we have the two infrastructure network, right? Two infrastructure network. One is used for the storage. One is used for the other infrastructure roles. Then give us the IP range, VLAN ID for the storage and the infrastructure network. Then it's the VIP IP address, VIP IP range for the SDN. Last but the most important is the BGP configuration. Because we use the BGP in a different place. For example, from the SRB for software load balancer to the Tor, we use BGP. So you need to tell us what's the BGP, what's the ESN you want to use. Also, we use the Tor. When Tor connect to the external, your border device is also used BGP. So we need to connect the ESN and an IP address for those devices. Optional, you can give us the syslog, and we can send the log to the syslog server. The last, we collect the information about the physical node. For example, the BMC IP address, with the MAC address. So the whole deployment experience is pretty straightforward. We're just running one command from the DVM, deployment VM. Then it will get the whole Azure stack deployment, get it done. So this is but we do the size survey. Once we got data, we'll generate the, we'll pre-config the Azure Stack before we go on site. So when we ship the Azure Stack to your data center, you unbox the Azure Stack, and that Azure Stack has already been configured with all the settings that we collect before. Right? Then we have a consultant go on site and integrate the Azure Stack into your environment. Actually, next month, I will visit Europe. I have the two customers there. We'll deploy the Azure Stack multi-node. When you consider the Azure Stack, when you decide whether or not to adopt Azure Stack, there's a couple of things you want to consider. The first one is about the purpose of the Azure Stack. If you want doing some dev test training, you probably don't need the multi-cloud. You can just use the one node, single node, one POC, just the box here, just this one. So we will provide the single node Azure Stack, and even after GA, we'll continue to provide the single node Azure Stack. If you want running the production workload on the Azure Stack, you should consider the multi-node. That's the integrated system. Right. The second things you need to consider is about the what kind of workload you want running. Right. If your workload is I/O intensive, then you can talk with your OEM vendor, because OEM vendor provide different option. They might give you the more SSD, more cache device. You can even replace the SATA SSD with NVMe SSD to provide the high IO to support the high IO throughput. If your application is the CPU intensive, you might want to consider use the more powerful CPU. In terms of capacity, when you evaluate the capacity, you may ask yourself how many VMs I plan to running on the Azure Stack. What's the size of the VMs? Also, if I use the other PaaS service like the storage, I may consider what's the capacity of storage, the storage service I need. The next question is how many scale units, how many regions you want to deploy, and how to integrate with your identity source, identity store. Use AED or use ADFS. These are the couple of the decisions you want to make before you adopt Azure Stack. This is a full picture of the Azure Stack at GA. The red one is the building the box. So iService, infrastructure as a service. There's VM, the virtual network, and also the blob table queue. Those services are building Azure Stack. The green one are the RP the customer can install after they have the Azure Stack deployed. For example, SQL RP, MySQL RP, Service Fabric. We will have service fabric preview in the TP3, so keep eyes on it. Those RPs a customer can install by themselves. This is the full picture of the at GA. As I was saying, we're moving forward. We're onboarding more and more services on the Azure Stack. That's our commitment. Today, when we look at the scenario, we find that digital marketing, mobile, microservice, e-commerce, SharePoint, these are the scenarios fit the Azure Stack. Here's the timeline. Last year, September, we released the TP2. Next month, we'll release the TP3. The GA date will be the middle of this calendar year. We will release the start from TP2, the single node POC and the multi-node, we release them together. So this one is including both single node and the multi-node. For the GA date, the multi-node GA date is only the software GA, which means after software GA, you might still not be able to get the Azure Stack, but you can place order to the OEM partner. Then they can ship the Azure Stack once they are ready in the market. Tomorrow morning, 8:30, my colleague Bala and I, we will have another session about Azure Stack. We will introduce the Azure Stack hybrid offering and hybrid deployment. For example, especially we are talking about the, you know, we always said Microsoft has a very unique view of the cloud. We said cloud is a model, it's not just a place. So we support the, with Azure Stack, we can support the Azure service in public Azure, the private cloud, and the hosted cloud. So I will demo how we enable the hosted cloud, how we enable hosted cloud to in the most scenarios, like the reseller scenarios, like the dedicated provider scenarios. Bala will show you how we connect the Azure Stack and the Azure connect them together with the Express Route. That's my email address and my personal tech blog. So if you have, now I think I'm ready for the question. Do you have any questions for this session, for the Azure Stack? Let me repeat the question. So the question is, if I have the Azure Cloud, public cloud, and the Azure Stack, how can I manage them together? Okay. Today, from IT pro perspective, we support the use the the pro experience is consistent. So they can access the Azure, use the Azure portal, or use the Azure PowerShell to manage the Azure. They can use the same tool, Azure PowerShell, to manage the Azure Stack. So that experience is consistent. If you more look at the portal, today we don't have the portal to manage the two clouds together. For example, maybe some customer won't have the portal. In that portal, it provides a single pane of glasses to manage the different clouds. But at current stage, we don't have that. But we do have the project called SkyBridge, which will manage the different clouds, including the public Azure and the Azure Stack, put them together.
With the billing policy, how do we make money through the consumption model? Mm-hmm. Are they charged based on pricing the Azure cloud?
Mm-hmm.
And how do we make money out of that?
You make the money from? You are the service provider?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Good question. The question is, as a service provider, how can we make money from the Azure Stack? Simple answer is, with Azure Stack, as a service provider, you can run in the Azure Stack and provide service to your end customer. Then Azure Stack has user data. Our metering uses the user data to collect the user consumption, then generate bill to you. But as a service provider, you can also leverage the user data and integrate them with your price model, your commerce system, and generate bill to you and the customer.
So we can control the bill?
Yeah, you can control the bill, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good question. Let me repeat the question. Question about the VMs or other services running on the Azure Stack. How will we charge the customer? Is there a difference between the Azure? Yeah. Okay. The Azure, we definitely Azure Stack will use a different price compared to Azure, because you own the hardware, you operate the Azure Stack, and so there are some of the difference between the price. So we will charge the reasonable price for the consumption model. That's for sure. But I don't have the detail about the price, the price model. I think they will disclose the information after TP3, I believe. Mm-hmm. Question there. What's the cost of multi-node? Sorry, I cannot share that information. but much cheaper than the CPS, obviously. Do you know CPS? CPS Premier, right? Because right now we support the minimum size of 4 nodes, but CPS is the, from 1 rack to 4 rack. So one feedback we received from the customer about the CPS Premier is CPS too large for the customer who want to test, who want to try, who want to adopt the CPS. So in the Azure stack, we decided to start from small size, so customer can select the minimum size of the 4 node. So the cost is not that high. I believe that right before GA. Yeah, also the it depends on the different OEM vendor, right? Because for example, some of the vendors use the dual boot drive, some vendors use a 40 gig NIC, some vendors use 10 gig NIC. So it's no, I don't have that information. Sorry. Any other question? Copy from. Can you repeat the question?
In terms of the on-premises Azure stack being completely offline, you mentioned the capacity model for licensing.
Yeah.
It sounds like updates can be copied into a repository and Azure stack pointed at that. Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah.
Are there any other requirements for online connectivity?
Okay, I will talk about a little bit more about capacity model because I see the people have the interest. The capacity model, in a capacity model, you still need to activate the Azure Stack deployment. You still need the Azure subscription, but that Azure subscription has nothing to do with the deployment. You just need a subscription to activate the Azure Stack. Then after that, that Azure Stack, after you register the Azure subscription in the Azure Stack RP, then we'll give you a token. You use the token to use a partial command line to enable the Azure Stack deployment. The whole process, the Azure Stack deployment, it disconnect from the Azure, even disconnect from the internet. Then, and how about the PNU, right? That's your question. How about the patch and update? The patch update you can download from the internet, then put in the specific portal, a specific path, then Azure Stack PNU engine will pick up the update and show in the portal. Then the service admin can select it to apply the patch. That's how it works. Okay. Even for the connect to Azure scenario, the PMU is also use that approach. It's not like the Windows update, you select check the update online, not like that. Because we want to give the service admin the control when to apply the patch. The question?
In the Azure connecting scenario, is that connection proprietary of the Azure stack, or is it a standard site-to-site VPN or express drive, or is there a choice of site-to-site VPN express drive?
Yeah, connect to Azure means, not necessarily means you have to connect to build the VPN connection from the Azure stack to your virtual network in Azure. It's not necessary, but you can do that. You can do the site-to-site VPN, you can do express route, that's optional, right? But connect to Azure means the fundamental thing is I report my user data to the Azure. Then we can charge based on the consumption. Also, you can leverage the Azure service, like the Azure Backup or ASR to do the protect the VMs, those kind of stuff.
And just a quick question of the capacity model is not available.
Yeah, I would say capacity model is not the model we recommend because, as you mentioned, the cost is pretty high because you need to pay whatever you use, right? Even if you don't use anything, you still need to pay that money. So capacity model is not recommended. We only recommend the capacity model in a specific scenario, like disconnect from the internet, the banking, those kind of the scenario. Any more question? If you have a question, you can also shoot me an email. That's my email address. Okay. Thank you, everyone. Thank you.